Thank you very much, and we appreciate all of you being here this morning. It is a great day, and it is a wonderful day for us to be reminded of how important mothers are in our world. And I hope that you are truly thankful for your mom. And if you haven't already rushed out to buy her a flower or a card or some expression of love and gratitude for all that she has done, I hope that you'll do that before the day is over. It certainly is a wonderful time for us to tell her how much we love her, how much she means to each of us. You know, marriage in itself is difficult even at its best. And before we get into the lesson this morning, where we're going to be talking about Mother's Day, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you have teenagers, whatever, I can tell you that we all have a tremendous responsibility. And so to all of you out there this morning, we say Happy Mother's Day. You know, when you stop and think about marriage itself, you know, a lot of times people never really consider the importance of marriage and the one that you're going to choose to rear your children. I read a little thing the other day on the internet entitled, How Do You Decide Who You're Going to Marry? Well, these answers came from a number of young people, and it might surprise you what they had to say. There was a little boy named Alan, age 10, who wrote this with regard to the question, How do you decide who you're going to marry? Well, he said, first of all, you've got to find someone who likes the same stuff that you like. And like if you like sports, well, she should like that too. And she should just keep the chips and the dips coming. Well, Christian, who was age 10, said, no person really decides before they grow up who they're going to marry. God decides it all the way before. And you get to find out later who you got stuck with. Well, there was a question that was asked, what is the right age to get married? One little boy said 23 is the best age. How many of you married at age 23? Anybody? Nobody? Well, you didn't marry at the right age if you're having a problem in your marriage. 23 is the best age because you know the person forever by then. Well, a question came, how can a stranger tell if two people are married? Derek, age 8, responded in this way. You might have to guess based on whether they seem to be yelling at the same kids or not. Question came, what do you think about mom and dad and what they have in common? Both don't want any more kids, said Lon, age 8. Well, what do most people do on a date? Now, this would really surprise you. This came from Lynette, age 8. And she said, dates are for having fun. And people should use them to get to know one another better. Even boys have something to say if you listen long enough. Martin, age 10, said, on the first date, they just tell each other lies, and that usually gets them interested enough to go for a second date. Question came, when it is okay to kiss someone? Pam, age 7, said, when they're rich. One little boy said, the law says you have to be age 18, so I don't want to mess with that. And one said, the rule goes like this. If you kiss someone, then you should marry them and have kids with them. It's the right thing to do. Then the question was, is it better to be single or married? Now, you might listen up for this one. Anita, age 9, said, it's better for girls to be single, but not for boys. Boys need someone to clean up after them. How would the world be different if people didn't get married? Kevin, age 8, said, there sure would be a lot of kids to explain, wouldn't there? And my favorite of all of them was this one. It came from a little boy named Ricky, age 10. How would you make a marriage work? Well, you would tell your wife that she looks pretty, even if she looks like a dump truck. Scratch the last one. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, when we stop and think about motherhood. And like I said, I hope you rushed out to buy your mother flowers already. And I bought my daughters and my wife an orchid, a corsage for today, because I wanted them to know how much I really appreciate them. And that's just kind of a good way to do it. There was a 4-year-old boy one time, and a 6-year-old presented their mom with a house plant. and they had used their own money, and she was really thrilled about it. There was a bouquet, they said, that we wanted to give you at the flower shop. It was real pretty, but it was too expensive. It had a ribbon on it that said, "Rest in Peace." And we thought it would just be too perfect, since you're always asking for a little peace so that you can rest. Well, that may not be the kind of peace that she was seeking after. Well, let's talk about motherhood today, and what are some things that we should know about motherhood? I would tell you, number one, that being a mom is not the easiest job in the world. And all the mothers would say amen. I'm telling you, it is a tough job being a mother. And if you are a mother today, I want you to know that I really appreciate what you do, because I understand how difficult it is for people to, and many of them work outside the home today, and try to maintain the domestic relationship that they ought to have in the home. Do you know that more than one half of the mothers with children today work outside the home? That is, those that are under 18, children under 18. 7 out of 10 of these work full-time outside the home. Now, we have a lot of fathers today that believe that mother ought to carry on that job and that she ought to take care of all the responsibilities at home. I'm a firm believer in this one thought. If you expect your wife to work outside the home, then you better make sure that you help her with the domestic responsibilities. You must help your wife. I believe that God teaches that. Do you know, it was Samuel Greenwater who once said in his book, The Call to Motherhood, he said that the call to motherhood is being endangered by many subversive forces today. And it is true. Do you realize that there are many people in our world today that do not believe that God's divine arrangement for marriage is going to work in today's society? But you know what? I really believe, according to what the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, that God has given each of us responsibilities and that we ought to appreciate mother and what she does. But what are those problems that we often think about as subversive forces in today's world? Well, I would tell you, first of all, one of them has to be an ungrateful husband. I have seen so many husbands that are just simply ingrates. They treat their wife like dirt. They treat them like they are an object. They treat them much like many of those in the Mideast treat their wives. It is true. Husbands, the Bible says, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You must be the right kind of husband if you want your wife to be the right kind of wife. I believe that with all of my heart. You know, many of the problems in marriage today could be solved if men would step up to the plate and express their gratitude and their appreciation for their wives. But let me tell you another thing. One of the subversive forces in our world today is economic necessity. You know, it didn't used to be that women had to work outside the home. And I hear people say all the time, well, it's just a real necessity that women have to work outside the home, that we have to pull ends together. We have to make ends meet. And I understand that to some degree, but sometimes I wonder, what are the ends that we're trying to pull together? I also believe that many of the problems that we have in America today are not only attributed to ungrateful husbands and economic necessity, but also to professional satisfaction. There are just some women who want to work outside the home. It is something that they choose to do. Not that they necessarily have to do, but that they choose to do. And the real problem with this is oftentimes children are neglected. I'm not saying it's wrong for a mother to work, but I also believe that if a mother chooses to occupy herself outside of the home, then she also needs to recognize the responsibility that she has back home with her children. The Bible teaches that women are to love their children and to nurture them and to care for them. And if we're going to have the kind of society that we all really want in America, and we really want to restore the values that we once had in this country, then let's not allow these subversive forces to destroy the thing that God has designed. Well, there's another thing that we need to know and we need to appreciate about motherhood. Number two, we should all appreciate the value of motherhood. You know, from the dawn of creation, when Adam and Eve were told to multiply and replenish the earth, from the dawn of creation, even down till now, God has sanctioned marriage and wedded love. And He has sanctioned the home. And we all ought to be concerned today about the home as God would have it. The law of Moses taught that we are to honor mother and father. It was one of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. In the book of Exodus 20 and verse 12, and also in the book of Leviticus 19 and verse 3, you will find these words: honor thy father and thy mother. Now you would think that you wouldn't have to tell anybody to do that. You'd think that would just be a natural reaction because a mother and a father love you very, very deeply. But I'm afraid that we have to tell it over and over and over again. And do you know why we established Mother's Day many years ago? Is to remind children that mother plays a prominent role in the family. You know why God left it in His Word for us about honoring mother? Is because we have a tendency to forget. And we need to be reminded over and over again that this one command of God is a superlative commandment that was given by Jehovah many years ago. And Jesus even taught it also in the Sermon on the Mount. And the Apostle Paul taught it in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. He said to fathers, but I believe to mothers as well, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. The Bible teaches that her teaching was not to be abandoned. When you stop and think about motherhood, you know, some of the greatest lessons that I ever learned as a child was learned from my mother. I can remember sitting on her knee, and even though she passed away when I was a young man, I can still remember sitting on my mother's knee and her telling me those great stories of the Old Testament. And telling me about God and expressing unto me her desire for someday me to preach the gospel of Christ. I can tell you that was my mother's last request when I stood by her side in the hospital before her death. It was for me to become a preacher of the Word of God. And I want to tell you today that what I share with you today largely comes from the training that I received from a godly mother and a godly father. And I mean that sincerely. And I'm convinced that the Bible teaches that we're not to abandon what she has taught us according to the Word of God. In Proverbs 1 and verse 8, Solomon said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. She is not to be despised or scorned. For Proverbs 15 and 20 says, a wise son maketh his father glad, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Proverbs 17 and verse 25, again, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. A foolish son. And how foolish we all are at times. We need to give up the foolishness and do what God has asked us to do. In Proverbs 23 and verse 22, hearken unto thy father that begat thee and despise not thy mother when she is old. That is, don't shove her aside. And you know what? Many mothers are shoved aside today. Sometimes children, when they grow up, never even think about the one who begat them and brought them into the world. They leave that responsibility to someone else. And sometimes they just stick them off in a nursing home and never go see them, never visit it. And I want to tell you something, I hear that over and over. When I go into the convalescent homes in our community, I want to tell you, I hear that over and over again, where the nurses will say to me, I'm so glad you came because there are many in this home whose children never, ever come to see them. And that is a travesty on our society, my friend. Motherhood is not merely a biological function, but it is a sacred calling. Do you know that no one can love a child like a mother? No one. They can't. A father cannot love his children, not really, like a mother. You see, that child is a real part of that woman. That child was growing in her body for 9 months. And there is an attachment and a bond that you cannot find and will not find anywhere else. A babysitter cannot love your children like you love them. God compares his love for us with that of a mother. Go to the book of Isaiah 49 and verse 15. And the discipline that we receive and that we give to our children. Mothers can communicate self-worth in a way that no one else can. You know what? My mother, and I mean that again sincerely, and I keep bringing my own mother up, but she was so dear to me. But, you know, my mother believed in me. And she created that self-worth in me. Not that I would become egotistical or arrogant or prideful, but that I could believe in what God could do in me and through me. And you know what? That's what we ought to be instilling in every one of our children, is to help them do their best, to be achievers, because we all can. We all can. But I know one thing, that however valuable motherhood is, God intended for motherhood to be experienced in marriage. In marriage, not outside of marriage. Do you know that more and more children are being born to unmarried women today? And I'm not indicting anyone in this audience. If you had a child out of wedlock, all I'm telling you is what the Word of God says. And most people who do understand the mistake and the problem that they have and that they made. But it is a real problem in America today, because 14% of new mothers in our world are single. Single moms. And do you know the city that leads the way in our nation is our capital in Washington, D.C. More children are born to unwed mothers in Washington, D.C. than any place in the world. Now you stop and think about that, folks, statistically. I heard a mother several years ago say, of three children, now think about this, I'm not really ready for marriage, but I love children and I wanted to have them. And that's fine. But you know, the Word of God teaches that they are to be born in a home with a father and with a mother. I read something very interesting that stated that a list of 10,000, now think about this, 10,000 men and women are waiting to be mothers of test tube babies at Eastern Virginia Medical School. Now think about that. Isn't that amazing? I will tell you also that sexual relationships outside of marriage is sinful, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Many don't like to hear that, but I'm telling you, it is true. The Bible says that the marriage bed is undefiled, but whoremongers God will judge. You don't hear too much preaching anymore on fornication or sex outside of marriage, but that's exactly what the Word of God teaches. But there's another thing about marriage and mothers that you need to know. Mothers are to love their children. To love their children. There again, you'd think that would almost be something that would come natural. For a mother to love her offspring. But they don't sometimes. In Titus 2 and verse 4, the Bible says that they, that is the women, that they may teach the younger women to be sober and to love their husbands and to love their children. To love their children. It's so important, isn't it? It is. You know, let me ask you a question today. What are you teaching your children? Do you know that if a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. And if he lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If he lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If he lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. And if a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. And if he lives with approval, he learns to like himself. And if a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. And isn't that really what our children need today? Is a greater love and a greater understanding? It's so important, but sometimes too often neglected. Mothers are to love their children. Love them and tell them you love them. When was the last time you told your children that you love them? I know a lot of times parents say, well, it's not important that I verbalize it because I show it by what I do for my kids every day. I'm going to tell you something. God gave you a tongue. He gave you a tongue and a mouth where you can verbalize your love. Now, if you don't believe it's important to verbalize it, Jesus said, and you could say, well, Jesus knows that I love him without ever saying anything. That isn't what Christ said. The Bible says that we are to praise him. We praise him in song. We praise him in prayer. We praise him in a declaration of the word of God. And he said, if you confess me before men with your mouth, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. For in the book of Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, Paul says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And the heart believes unto righteousness. So it's important to tell your kids that you love them. Do you know, through the years, I've had opportunity to talk with a number of young people, especially teenagers. And I've had them say to me several times, I have never, never, ever heard my father or my mother say to me, I love you. And that is a disgrace, my friend. Tell them you love them. Show them yes, but verbalize it as well. But then there's another thing we need to know about motherhood. And that is that mothers are to teach their children about God. I know it gets stressful being a mom, as I told you. And I hear parents say sometimes, well, I just wish I had more time to sit down and teach my kids. You know what? It's a matter of appropriating your time. I've told you many, many times that sometimes we get more involved in taking care of the urgent and not really meeting the important. We need to be busy taking care of the important. And like I said, I know sometimes that women get stressed out. I heard about a woman who telephoned a friend one time and asked how she was feeling. And the reply over the phone came, well, I'm feeling terrible. She said, my head's splitting, my back and my legs are killing me. The house is a mess and the kids are simply driving me crazy. Very sympathetically, the caller said, listen, go and lie down. I'll come over right away. I'll cook lunch for you. I'll clean up the house. I'll take care of the children while you get some rest. By the way, how is Sam? Sam? The complaining housewife gasped. Who is Sam? And the first lady said, my heavens, I must have dialed the wrong number. There was a long pause. And the harried mother asked, does this mean you're not coming over? We all need encouragement. We all need help. And children are to help their mom in the home too. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's not a one-way street. That children are to love their mom just as you expect her to love you. And, you know, mothers are always getting up sometimes in the middle of the night. I can remember my mother getting up in the middle of the night, and we were sick sometimes, and she would take care of our needs. And I know what Audrey's done for our children, and I know what our children do for their children. And sometimes it really gets tough, and sometimes it's hard, especially being, you know, having to get up right in the middle of the night out of sleep. And it just happens. And anyway, a woman had quit her work one time to stay home and take care of her newborn baby. And those of you that have new babies, I understand what you're going through. We've been there. And it's a tough thing. It really, really is. Countless hours of peekaboo and other games slowly took their toll on this woman. One evening, she smacked her bare toes on the corner of a dresser, grabbing her foot. How many of you have ever done that? Well, she sank to the floor. Her husband rushed to her side and asked where it hurt. She looked at her husband through tear-filled eyes and managed to moan, It's the piggy that ate the roast beef. Motherhood. Do you know that the first perceptions of right and wrong are taught by moms? They are. It shouldn't be left up to the school, and it shouldn't be left up to the church, but it's the responsibility of those in the home to teach your children. This is a grave responsibility, one that should not be delegated to a babysitter. I've heard people say, now if my child gets out of hand, you punish it. You know why they want that to happen? Because they're not prepared to take care of it themselves. Let me tell you something. As a mother, money can buy your groceries, but it cannot buy your character. And character is who you are. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul gives a worthy tribute to young mothers. But he says, continue, and he says this to Timothy. He says, but continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. You know, children watch you. Whether you believe it or not, they watch you. I read a poem the other day entitled, When You Thought I Wasn't Looking. But it really illustrates to me something that is so very, very important. And that is, your children do view you. They watch you. They watch what you do. They watch what you say. They listen to you. They watch where you go. They watch what you do not do when they know you ought to be doing it. When you thought I wasn't looking, you hung my first painting on the refrigerator, and I wanted to paint another one. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you feed a stray cat, and I thought it was good to be kind to animals. When you thought I wasn't looking, you baked a birthday cake just for me, and I knew that little things were special. When you thought I wasn't looking, you said a prayer, and I believe there is a God that I could always talk to. When you thought I wasn't looking, you kissed me goodnight, and I felt loved. And when you thought I wasn't looking, I saw tears come from your eyes, and I learned that sometimes things hurt, but that it's all right to cry. And when you thought I wasn't looking, you smiled, and it made me want to look pretty too. When you thought I wasn't looking, you cared, and I wanted to be everything I could be. When you thought I wasn't looking, I looked, and I wanted to say thanks for all those things you did when you thought I wasn't looking. Children do watch. They see you for what you really are. There was a young boy one day who went to the zoo with his parents. And they came upon a cage of a wildcat. And the young boy looked at that wildcat. And he eyed it and he viewed it and he kept looking at it. And he saw a sign up above it that said, Wildcat. And the little boy asked his mom and his dad. He said, why do they call it a wildcat? And the father said, son, that's because its mom and its dad were wildcats. You know why we have so many disobedient children in our world today? You know why we have a lot of rebels, those that rebel against God, those who rebel against the church, those who rebel against society? Those who rebel against authority, it's because mom and dad are just like them. Now, that's not to say that parents can't teach their children and maybe their children go astray. I know that often happens too. But a lot of times the problems that we have in America, and I want to tell you something, if you really go back and you look in the annals of history, many of the problems that we are experiencing in America today go way back, sometimes two and three generations back. Where grandparents and great-grandparents didn't believe in God and didn't teach values to their grandchildren or the children. And so We have received what we have sown. We have. You know, I just believe today that there are some mothers here today that are praying that their children would obey the gospel and would commit themselves in baptism and would live for God and recommit themselves unto the Lord. The greatest honor that you can give your children is a godly life. Great blessings are in store for godly mothers. We ought to honor mothers, but not just one day out of the year. God placed a premium upon mothers who will guide and direct the affairs of their children. Some of you today are Christians, maybe some are not. Some have obeyed the gospel and you've been baptized for the remission of sin. Some have not. Well, I'm going to tell you today that the greatest thing in the world that you can leave your children is a Christian heritage. But how can you be a great mother? And I want to close with this today. How can you be a great mother? Well, let's use the acronym MOTHER here and let's talk about it a little bit, briefly. I would tell you, first of all, you need to make sure that you marry the right man. You know, a lot of mistakes are made in this world when you marry the wrong person. And I know sometimes you can only know a person to a degree until you get into a relationship. Because sometimes people are always trying to put their best foot forward until they get married and say, I do, at the altar. But sometimes after that we realize we made a mistake. Give a lot of consideration. I say that to all the young women in this audience today. Give a lot of consideration to the person that you marry. And let the O represent obedience to the gospel of Christ. You know, if you want your children to obey the gospel, you must be obedient as well. And if you really want your children to go to heaven, you must encourage them to obey the gospel. And then let the T represent train your children to love God. You know, we teach our children a lot of things. We teach them how to make a living. But sometimes we fail at teaching them how to make a life. Let the H represent honor your parents. If you want your children to honor you, you must honor your parents. Because when you dishonor your own mom and dad, you will soon discover that your children will dishonor you as well. Because what goes around comes around. And there is a principle born out in the book of Galatians chapter 6 that says, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then let the E represent enjoy your Christianity. Let your children know that you delight in being a child of God. And that is not drudgery to be a Christian, but a joy that overwhelms us. And then let the R represent requesting wisdom from God to teach and to train our children. And you know, when we do that, then God is honored. And our children are blessed. And the world is a better place in which to live. And the church is strong and vibrant and living and ready to execute the will of God. So I hope today that each of us would recognize the awesome responsibility that God has placed upon motherhood. And I would encourage the fathers and the husbands in this audience to help your wife. It would amaze you sometimes what your wife could become with a little encouragement along the way. From a, I love you, honey. I appreciate what you do. And I'm here ready to help you to get the job done. And so instead of cursing your wife and berating her and looking down upon her with disdain, why not lift her up and hold her high? And the Bible says of that virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 through 31, that her husband praises her, and her children also rise up and praise her as well. Isn't that really what she needs today? little praise, little encouragement? Because we love you, Mom. We do. Now, if you're not a Christian today, let me encourage you in this way to become one, to become a legacy of Christianity. And oddly enough, sometimes fathers do not assume that responsibility. And a mother, out of her respect for God and her respect for her family, will set the stage. Many mothers bring their children to church when Dad will not come. And I praise you and I honor you for that. And God does as well. And strangely enough, sometimes a mom has to become not only a mom, but a dad as well in a lot of families. But if you're not a Christian, if you're not a Christian, why not obey the gospel and leave that legacy of Christianity for your children? You want your children to go to heaven? You really want them to go to heaven? And why not show them how much you want to go? By believing and trusting in Christ, and by renouncing your sin and the ways of the world, and by becoming a Christian in baptism and committing your life to Christ, and then living the kind of life that is exemplary of the values that we've been talking about here this morning. Mothers make mistakes, we all do. Men make mistakes, plenty of them. But aren't you thankful today that God is a forgiving God, that when we turn and we acknowledge our sin and our need for a greater dependence upon God, that He is there ready to touch us and help us and to minister to our need? He is ready to minister to you this morning. If you'll come asking Him to forgive you, asking Him to strengthen you, asking Him to help you be all that He wants you to be, and I hope and I trust that you will, while we stand and while we sing.